You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo go down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
We are truly in the wild today. Kylan's over here cold, freezing on us.
We're sitting in a park in the middle of deepest, darkest...
Akron, Ohio.
Miss Dawn, darkest on a nice sunny day.
That's right. You have some pictures, don't you, Miss Dawn?
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to check out our recording setup. This is awesome. We may have to do this a couple more times this summer because we need to get out in the sun anyway.
No, we don't.
Yeah, Kylan needs a tan. Everyone knows that.
No, we don't.
But, Geeksters, we're all together. This is your spoiler warning now. After this, we're not going to do this. We all saw Civil War. Most of you saw Civil War this week. Well, we're talking about Civil War today, so this is your spoiler warning. You got another 20 minutes or so before we get to it.
That's right.
But don't go complaining to us if we spoil something for you. So
you've been warned.
Yes. So, Ms. Dawn, do we have Geek Watch 1 news for any? Or what have you guys been doing this week? Actually, we all did something yesterday, but...
We all did. Aside from seeing Civil War, we also all went to Free Comic Book Day.
But yeah. Me.
Well, except Vicky. Vicky didn't make it.
I was too busy making bombs.
Yeah, Vicky was making bombs.
Okay,
we
don't want to really talk about that. Not really. Not really, FBI, etc. We're not really making bombs.
It's bath bombs.
Hey, she gave you an F-bomb.
She did. Vicky gave me an F-bomb.
Bath bomb. I bought one. I actually went to Lush and bought one for Ken.
Yeah. Not that I'm going to use a bath bomb.
But it was called sex. I had to. It was pink and purple.
If you take a bath, you can use a bath bomb, period.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. Male, female, whatever. It's good. But yeah, we did Free Comic Book Day. Hopefully you guys got to go to your local shops and that too and grab some free comics. They had quite a variety. I know the shop we go to, JC's, he had probably 30.
Something like that.
Different comics from all the publishers. We picked up about, I think, 18 of them is what I counted.
Yeah.
And of course, once we read some of these, we'll give them away anyway.
But yeah.
We picked up a few for friends who gave us a list. Cam, talking about you.
That boy needs to get a driver's license so he can move.
I know. He has to go get his... Cam's just lucky that JC was not giving us a limit on the number of books we could take.
Yeah. Well, Kenmore, when I went to Kenmore, they actually had a 5-comic limit. So with Vicky not with me,
you could only get five.
Right.
That's what I was figuring. If it was between me and Kylan, if it was a 5 limit, we'd at least still get 10 comics. But... luckily there wasn't, so I was able to get the 4 that Cam asked for. That would have almost used up my limit. But yeah, we were there, just after 9:30?
Yeah.
Right around 9:30.
Yeah, he opened early.
His usual open time is 11. We were there around 9:30. He opened before 10, probably about 10 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we were in it. It wasn't even 10:15. We were out of the place.
Yeah.
So it was good.
And I know, how busy was it there, JC's?
It was already pretty busy. By the time we got there, like I said, around 9:30, there was probably about 20 people in line.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a sale going that day, too.
And he puts everything on sale for 25% off.
Yeah, Kenmore did the same thing. He had all of his back issues were, depending on how long he's had it, was anywhere from 25 to 50% off or more.
Yeah, he had all the back issues were 25, and basically any sale was 25. It was only the new... comics that weren't on sale. Everything else was 25.
I got 20% off of a pack of magic cards. That's actually pretty good because those were new. That was a new item.
We ended up getting, you got what, a Luke Cage collection?
Yeah, volume 2 of from the 90s series.
And I actually got the Jessica Jones Pulse collection. They put all the Pulse comics in one.
Okay.
I got that, and I also got the volume one of Rat Queens.
I thought of Image. You, because I saw... I was sitting there when one of the guys from Kenmore was actually showing... Because the guy wanted to know if there's anything more... Because his kids are into Spider-Man and Batman, but he wanted something a little less violent. So both Marvel and DC have been putting out... Well, they've been putting out more of a digest size.
Yeah.
And it's the same stories. It's just they ramp down the violence just a little bit in it. Mm-hmm. So they, but they had a Deadpool Wolverine.
It's not possible to ramp down the violence. That's what I'm, in anything well,
that,
involving
and the
Deadpool.
Language and said, with the, and the guy said it was the, that book is actually. I almost picked it up. I might have to go back and get it, but he said it's funny because the censoring part of Deadpool they make part of the story. Like yeah. every time Deadpool would try to say his name, someone would interrupt him.
Yeah,
stuff like that. And he said it's it was a great book because they're playing on the fact that Deadpool is not kid friendly.
Right. Yes.
Wolverine can be.
He can be,
but
yes, he can.
It's like, and they said that was the fun part of it. And the story, a lot of the stories revolved around Spider-Man with the, in this book. Right. And it was Spider-Man working with Deadpool or working with Wolverine or something like that.
They've managed to tame Deadpool in certain instances when he's with Spidey. Like they did, there was an episode of the Spidey cartoon.
Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah.
That is hilarious that has Deadpool in it.
And do they do the same thing? Make it that part of the show?
The censoring is part of the show, but there are so many like kind of like inside and almost adult jokes. Like that, if you're watching it with your kid, it's hilarious.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good episode. So, but yeah, it was. We had a good comic book day, and they had all kinds of. I mean, DC had a couple books, Marvel had a couple. There was Image and Vertigo and Dark Horse.
The only thing I was disappointed in was DC, at least the one I was at, only had two books out.
Right.
One was DC Superpower Girls, which I picked up, or Superhero Girls, which I picked up because I want to check it out and see what it's all about because they're going to be putting out a weekly comic or a monthly comic on this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they had Suicide Squad number one, which is just a reprint.
Right.
Marvel only had, what, two or three books also?
Marvel? No. Was he Marvel? Had
yeah,
Civil,
Captain.
Yeah,
Captain America. Civil War II. What else was there from Marvel?
Those were the main ones. From
those
but,
were the main
but
ones.
But see, like a lot of those now, a lot of the two biggies, obviously, they only put out a couple because they know all the other publishers are putting out something too.
Oh, there was books from everybody else.
So they, I mean, like there's. Like, for Marvel, there's no point really putting out much other than something Captain America and something Civil War because of the movie, and with Civil War 2 starting up soon, it's kind of a one-shot that introduces people to it. So.
I mean, plus a couple of weeks ago, they released their pretty much their upcoming series for the rest of the year in previews, and also as an independent free book that you could pick up from your comic shop.
Yeah. But there was a lot of good stuff for like gamers and anime fans because there was a Korra one which was actually part of a kids anthology. And there was
they've actually done very well with the Avatar Last Airbender line of comics because they're almost all they don't do individual books.
Yeah,
they'll do digest size trades.
Right,
which a lot of them like the Avatar ones with Aang actually bridges the gap between the two series.
Right,
and these I believe the Korra ones extend the story past. Or are they during the series?
No, the thing is the Free Comic Book Day one being part of the kids anthology isn't part of the further story.
Okay.
Yeah, it's her as a kid and everything.
Do we know if they've actually continued the
but
story?
But as
past
far
the
as
series?
I know, they actually they have continued it.
Okay.
From what I heard. But you also had stuff like Attack on Titan.
With them also is they're actually going to be doing another series after Korra.
Oh, they are? They're working on a new one?
They're talking about doing a set of
Oh, is it the next? Yeah, it's the next set of... That. See, that's what's cool about that show. Because the way they've done it was... Aang was... It would have been our time around the mid-1800s.
Right.
Asia. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be Wild West and all that stuff.
Right.
But then they did... The next generation was Korra. It was the 1920s.
Right.
So they can move it ahead another 20 years and get it into the 50s.
Right.
And there's your next Avatar.
Right.
Or even in the 60s, 70s, something like that, for technology-wise on them. It's going to be fun to see where they go with this.
Right.
It would be awesome to see a set of twins running around as avatars in the 80s.
That'd be different. So like, you said they had other anime type ones?
They had Attack on Titan. They had One Punch Man.
Vernon almost picked that one up.
And these are basically ones that we picked up. They had others there, but we weren't necessarily interested in them.
Street Fighter 5.
But for the games, they had Street Fighter. They had Assassin's Creed. And then there was ones like they had classics. Like they had the Phantom. They had a copy of the Phantom. And Kylan got ROM.
Speaking of which, I actually have the Phantom and ROM sitting here.
Right. And
this was interesting. The Phantom actually is from a press I've never heard of. It's actually another one of the little indie ones. It was, where's the name here? It's Herman Press. I've never heard of that one.
I don't know which one that is.
So.
But they also had, there's an award-winning graphic that came out a while ago called March that is actually about the civil rights movement, and they had a free comic related to that graphic.
Okay.
And for the steampunk fans, they had a copy of Lady Mechanica, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
We met the artist a couple years back at Dragon Con, and he's amazing. And they also had a collection that involves Serenity from Firefly, of course, and it's actually a new story. It's not a reprint of anything. It's actually a new Serenity story.
Cool.
So there was a huge collection, and a lot of comic shops might have leftovers. They usually, I mean, I know ours usually has a few leftovers.
Are they open on Sunday?
Yeah.
A lot of places are, yep.
Yeah,
I'll have to go check out JC's.
We'll have to swing by JC's after we're done here.
You know, they're not necessarily the top picks they have leftovers of, but
yeah.
You can get something. So yeah, so hopefully you guys got to go out and enjoy that too.
Yep, and then maybe for next year we'll try, since we've been at this for a while, we may be able to actually get a hold of Diamond and see if we can get a preview list or something of some of the big ones that are coming out.
Well, actually you can, and I looked those up the past few weeks, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. We'll do it again.
But Ken apparently doesn't listen to our show, so...
No. Hey, I do everything else.
Was that the day that we were both sick?
No. It was the last Meeple show. I had the previews with me, and I flipped through and talked about them. It was Free Comic Book Day.
Okay.
That's why I got the list from Cam, because he was there and he marked the ones he wanted.
Ken was distracted by... Well, yeah, that was from the magazine, wasn't it?
Yeah, from previews, yeah.
Let's say Ken was distracted by the cats.
And actually, over the past week, this is something to look forward to, you know, for next year, and we'll mention it again next year. There are certain websites like... I'm not sure if the Nerdist did it. I know IO9 did it. They said they had a list of basically the best free comics to look for on Free Comic Book Day, and they list like 5 to 10 comics... why they're the ones you should pick up, that kind of, because they did I'm pretty sure they listed Serenity, they listed ROM, they listed at least one of the anime ones. I'm not sure which one it was, but yeah, so they list a few of them and say, you know, these are the ones to look forward to.
Cool. Another thing to just point out real quick to you, the Geeksters, remember, we just came off Oddmall, but Oddmall is coming back again July 8th and 9th in Hudson, Ohio. Go to the oddmall.info, all the information is there.
It's only on the full day is a Saturday. It starts on Friday night for a few hours, so we just want to point out that fact. This is not a Saturday-Sunday show.
Oh, this one isn't a Sunday? Okay.
Yeah. It's just a Saturday show and a Friday night that coincides with the Hudson Art Walk, Art Hop, whatever they call it.
Cool.
So it's a few hours Friday night.
I know Friday night he's planning on, after the vendor's booth shut down, he's having like a backyard party
with
the stage going and everything else.
I'm not sure if it starts at 5 or 6. I think it starts at 5. It goes till 9.
Yeah. And then he's doing an after party afterwards out there in the field.
And fingers crossed we're going to get good weather.
Yes.
That's the main thing we're hoping for at this point, because it's the first outdoor Oddmall.
Also, any Geeksters out there that maybe you're thinking about being a vendor, you've thought about this before, the booths for this one start at like $40. So this is an affordable one to try out, guys.
If you've got merchandise that's okay being outside for, you know, a full day or whatever.
Or if you have a tent, an awning,
definitely
like
bring
that.
A tent, yeah. Because it's pretty much open. Like it's open
it's
field.
It's just a big field. There's no power, none of that.
You will need at least a tent or one of the massive beach umbrellas to cover things up.
So that's most, I think, of what's coming up for Con of the Cob. We didn't have anything else.
Wait, you know what? I want to say at the last Oddmall, we actually had some success with the panels, this was the first time that we had panels at Oddmall.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And we got a good response. And
I mean, we had plenty that went on, and they pretty much went on without a hitch. We didn't get a lot of audience, but...
But it was our first time out.
And people are getting used to finding what these are. And a lot of people going to these... what Oddmall is, a lot of people who approach it as more of a craft show don't know what's going on with panels. They don't understand that part of it. So we're trying to teach you people.
Yeah. So it's a great jump off point to, or actually a great taste of what to expect when you get to Con on the Cob and the panels that we're going to have there.
Well, the nice thing with the Oddmall, I noticed every time I looked in there, they had 8 or 9 people in there.
Yeah.
So actually, I think they were attended better than Con on the Cobs panels were for a lot of times.
They were.
A lot of the people were friends and family.
Yeah, but hey, it's still people in
but
the
hey,
audience.
People are people.
Hey, our Meeple show. Half the audience is friends and family.
That's true. That's pretty much all everyone.
So if anybody, if you're like, well, you know, I usually go to Con on the Cobs the game. I don't know what kind of panels you're gonna have. Now at the next Odd Mall, I don't think we're going to have
not
panels.
No, not in the outside one.
But the October one we will.
Yeah, the Hollow Wondrous. Yeah. Which actually, remember guys, Hollow Wondrous is in Toledo, Ohio. So anybody in the Michigan, Indiana, Western Ohio area, come check us out there. We're coming to see you.
So yeah, so...
we'll have more panels there.
More panels. And actually, I will use this as an opportunity to say, if you have an idea for a panel, or if you want to... No, run a panel. No, let us know. Since you can contact us at geekwatch1.com or geekwatch1.com. That'd be the best way to do it. That would be the best way to do it.
You can email us directly at geekwatch1@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
we'll get it.
Also, any of our other podcasting friends, I know we got podcasters that listen to us too. We are looking for podcasts. If you want to do a podcast live from Odd Mall, that one in Toledo is awesome for anybody like in the Detroit area. You guys know how close you are.
We had another podcast do a live panel recording, Invasion of the Podcast. They were at Odd Mall and they had a panel that I believe went well.
I stepped in and watched a little bit of it. It was awesome.
So yeah, you just bring your basic equipment that you'd usually use, your mic and your laptop for at least for us.
Well, the cool thing is on this one, they were actually talking aliens.
Yeah,
with Sigourney Weaver,
right.
The actual Aliens
they were
movies.
Talking, because it was an anniversary and everything,
yeah,
so right. they went into that, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then also out of Odd Mall, guys, we actually met a YouTube channel that is awesome, guys.
Well, we met people who run a YouTube channel, so we didn't actually meet the channel.
Well, no, because the guys who run it are the channel, just like we are GeekWatch 1, so if you go to our website, you've met us.
Yes, fine.
But we want to give a shout out to Permanently Geek. And there's some more news to come that may be coming out of this. But right now, I want to say hi to these guys. Thank you for checking us out. We've checked you guys out. Geeksters, go out and check these guys out on YouTube. They have some awesome content. Actually, Kylan, you're going to like this. They actually had a sit-down interview with Tamek.
Nice.
You would appreciate it. Anybody else who doesn't know this, Tamek was Leroy Green, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. They actually had a sit-down interview for like an hour with this guy. It was awesome.
I would have loved to sit down on that one. That would have just been awesome.
You wouldn't have been able to say anything. You would have been just like geeking out.
And you know what? I would have messed him up because I would have said, you really should have stuck around for longer than one season of WMAC Masters. I know you guys don't remember that, but look it up.
Actually, that sounds familiar.
WMAC Masters was just awesome. It was awesome.
Wasn't that a martial arts, like, American Gladiator style show?
Kind of, sort
of. Of course it was a martial arts show. You're talking about Kylan here.
Well, it was a World Martial Arts Masters or whatever is what it was.
World Martial Arts Council.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
I remember that show. I just don't remember all the details.
And you had to get the Dragon Star, and it was like, oh, it was awesome.
Okay, it's fine, honey. You don't have to explain.
Hey, we're geeking out here. I'm in it with
you. We're going to need a martial arts show, I think, and you can just talk about it.
We can do that. I got to talk to you about that because I was used to listen to a podcast that basically reviewed action movies.
Right.
Really bad ones, too. Good ones, bad ones, didn't matter. And it just kind of fell apart. So we may have to do something here, Kylan. That void has not been filled.
He has plenty of time for that.
That's right.
I can call
it in on your way to work. That's how you record it.
I brought up the fact that we need to get a couple martial artists to do some shows.
Yeah.
Like do a
Yeah, a couple
shows.
Martial artists of friends of ours, if possible.
Nice.
But, we've covered Odd Mall, we've covered our news. I'm going down the list, guys. We always, we have our list of stuff we have to hit
That's
before
right.
we get to the good stuff. We ready to get into some actual
some news
stories?
Yeah, let's do...
What happened in the news this week, Miss Dawn?
Okay. I haven't had one in a couple weeks. I get to have a Deadpool download.
And that was the Deadpool download. Moving on.
Shut up. Okay. It's a short one, but aside from the fact that by the time you listen to this, Deadpool will have been released on Blu-ray, so you better have it in your grubby little hands. I know I pre-ordered mine, and I will have it on Tuesday. But Deadpool is now the fastest-selling superhero title available on digital HD. It sold 1 million units in its first week, which also makes it Fox's best performing digital HD title ever and the fastest digital HD title to reach 1 million units. That's my download.
So awesome. This just proves to Fox that they should just let the people do what they do.
It proves that Fox should let fans make the damn movies they should be making and not flops.
No mechanical spiders.
And see, Warner Brothers, of course, is going to take this and look at all this and say, you know what? We're just going
to
make this a...
copy and try
that means it. Everything has to be R-rated.
Yeah.
That's why we're getting... if I remember right, they released... it's confirmed that there is going to be an extended version of Batman v Superman on the Blu-ray.
Yes.
And it's like 181 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be R-rated for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Well, I don't need a three-hour superhero movie.
No.
I would love... this is from a guy that would watch a three-hour superhero movie. You know what? I would watch a three-hour...
The extra footage is, unnecessary flashbacks and more about Martha.
Well, no, this stuff is going to make it R-rated, so it's probably just more violence.
Exactly.
The two of them
it's
beating
Martha
the tar out of each other even more.
See, I would watch a three-hour Watchmen movie because that's what it deserved.
It'll be an extended scene of the first scene with Clark and Lois, of the bathroom scene.
No one needed that.
What's going to make it R-rated.
No one needed that at all because we still don't believe Superman's the least bit human, even though he jumped in a bathtub.
No, they just
throw him in a shower, and that's the R-rated. You see naked.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly what that is.
Well,
Kylan, you got one.
Yeah, we have a new Han Solo.
Yes.
Alden
Ehrenreich. That's why she gave it to Kylan.
Ehrenreich.
Yeah,
I got
Alden
it.
Ehrenreich.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Now, Alden, if we pronounce that wrong, you're welcome to come on the show and talk to us about it.
Okay, so he has been confirmed to play our young Han Solo for the standalone Star Wars movie.
Alden, as much as I'm sure you're going to do a great job, I am kind of disappointed that it's not Taron Egerton. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I have to admit, I was really looking forward to...
I liked him in Kingsman so much.
I was looking forward to Taron Egerton, but that's okay because I get the Statesman.
We're good.
And so the young Han Solo film will be released on May 25th, 2018. So we have a couple of years for that. But
yeah,
we
that
also
one's
got
be...
two more movies to get
yeah.
to until
yeah,
we get to
exactly.
that.
Well,
so.
We've already got Rogue One for December of this year. Episode 8 for December of 2017.
Right.
And then it's only 6 months later, or less than 6 months later, you get the Han Solo movie.
That's right.
Right.
So it's like you barely have the Blu-ray out for Episode 8, and then all of a sudden we got the next movie.
Right.
But I believe that's also their Disney at the moment is shifting all theirs back to May, where Star Wars is supposed to be. Star Wars is supposed to be released in May. Usually it's the weekend before Memorial Day.
Right.
So I think that's just them doing their shift, and from there I believe the movies that they're planning on releasing are May.
Probably so.
So I mean, December was a great month for them.
I would see Rogue One.
Yeah, that one's gonna be sweet. We talked about Rogue One. Episode 8 is filming. So there's news slowly leaking out about that. It's just Star Wars is in a
hand,
great
right?
place right now.
Ray's going to lose a hand.
That's Vicky's.
Who's losing
Everybody
a hand?
Everybody has to lose a hand, so.
No,
wait,
no.
In episode 8, who lost a hand?
No Anakin lost a hand? Lost a hand?
Yeah, no, I'm talking Luke episode 7, though. Who lost? No one lost a hand in episode 7.
No, see, it's been the Marvel movies that people lose hands.
Yeah,
well,
that's a tribute to Star Wars.
Exactly.
No,
so
it's not all the Bloodline.
Yeah, because
Star Wars movies where people lose it. Yeah, Someone lost an entire arm in Civil War, people.
Yeah.
But like she said, it's the Skywalker bloodline. All the Skywalkers, at some point, one of them is going to lose a hand. Anakin loses a hand. Luke loses a hand. And we'll find out. We'll know definitely if Rey's part of the Skywalker bloodline if she loses an hand.
We'll know for sure.
Well, they said that we have not seen the parents.
The way that Denny went back and said that what it is Rey does not know who her parents is. So we may have seen them. But as of right now, no one in this cast actually knows officially that they're the parents or something like that.
I don't know. Daisy said she knew who they were.
Now, yes. But no.
But she also said they weren't important.
Right.
Yeah.
She said
they're important to Star Wars fans.
I think. I think that was they weren't important to the story or something. I don't know. No, I don't know if we're gonna know it. I think it would be kind of cool if we didn't know who her parents or if they were just nobodies.
I would like that.
That'd be an interesting idea.
The female from Rogue One, the pilot, to be her.
Yeah. The timeline kind of fits, but I did find out that White. I heard it was. What's his name? Mikkelsen or Madsen.
Yeah.
He's the guy in the white And that is ISB, mm-hmm. Imperial Security Bureau. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, what's her name's dad in the movie?
Yeah.
Because he let that slip without anybody knowing.
Yeah.
And, well, he didn't even realize it was supposed to be a secret or something.
Yeah, he was like, oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah. So we find out the Rogue in Rogue One is actually the daughter of an Imperial Security Bureau high-ranking officer.
Yeah.
Well, that would allow her to get into the base.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
All I know is that I need more Poe Dameron in my life. That's all.
You'll get
you
more Poe Dameron.
You're already getting your comic books.
Well, issue 2 came out. I'm happy.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
When did that come out?
Wednesday.
Oh, I didn't. I have to go back again.
Now you have another reason to go to JC's.
I know. Babe, we got to make a trip on the way home.
Only if, we got a couple because I want to go and go to the tool store.
Okay. She has to buy some tools.
I do.
Everyone needs tools.
Yes. So what's our next news story here?
Well, the next ones are Marvel related. To mention, you know, since Civil War just came out, they announced that they're going to start filming Infinity War in November.
Okay.
And the Russos said they're filming them back to back. So, and because it's basically one continuous story, but they're filming back to back. They're already partway through the script for the first one, which they started writing as soon as they were done Civil War. And they're also renaming them. They're no longer going to be called Part 1 and Part 2. They have not released what the names are, but they are renaming them.
But they said that Infinity War was not really that was not really true to what the stories were about.
Yeah.
So,
but it is going to be basically the whole thing about the Infinity Gauntlet still. So
okay.
And then the only other thing I really wanted to mention was Captain America Civil War box office. Mm-hmm. They figure the opening weekend's going to surpass about $180 million.
That's nice.
Just from the Thursday openings, which it doesn't open wide Thursday nights necessarily.
Yeah.
They had more than $20 million just Thursday night.
Nice.
When we went, it was sold out, and the one after us was completely sold out.
Yeah. So they're making big money, and they said by... Hold on. By... Like, by the end of the weekend, because you have to remember it's already been out for a week and a half, 2 weeks globally.
Yeah.
Why are we putting out American movies everywhere else first?
I know, right?
That ain't right. We should be the first ones getting our own movies.
By the end of the weekend, they figure worldwide it's probably going to hit $700 million.
Nice.
Feige confirmed that we are getting... a Black Widow movie.
Okay.
He said he's finally, you know.
Well, I thought it was something about they haven't given up on it, or they're committed to it.
They're committed to a Black Widow movie. I guess that will be in Phase 4.
Okay.
They've been listening to the fans. They know the fans have been screaming for this. They know she's a popular character. He said that, you know, they're listening to the fans, and they're committed to getting Black Widow to the screen in a solo movie.
And so. Hopefully when they do that, she'll actually have action figures out that are supposed to be from the scene in the movie.
Speaking of that, we found some fun... down in Canton, we found a wholesale store that basically buys all your overstock stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. And they had boxes and boxes of the Quinjet with the bike with the Captain America on it.
Yeah, it looked like a couple cases.
You can get them for $10.
Really?
Yeah.
But you...
What'd I do?
Was trying to get yourself...
Oh, out, yeah.
You were
The Lego set?
No, it's the one that the controversial one that has Cap on the bike instead of Black Widow.
In the scene of the movie, she rode the bike coming out of the Quinjet and everything, but the toy has Captain America on it.
Right.
Because his shield is on the bike.
Right, and so she picks up the shield.
The toy has him, not her.
Right, yeah, I remember.
So they had bought it.
They had bunches of those toys sitting there.
It was a couple cases.
Yeah, but no, Vicky wouldn't let me get in trouble when we got done with Captain America.
Okay. His butt was trying to get himself shot.
Oh, no.
On Thursday.
So I wasn't giving real spoilers.
Oh, shut up. You're going to...
Go ahead.
I'm going to hit you. Knock you off. No. He walks out of the theater talking to Bart and me and then proceeds to talk to, like, these little 15-year-olds how, you know, what would happen if he walked down a packed line that was waiting to come in after we left. He wanted to know... was going on about how does... Dr. Doom get into a Marvel Studios
movie. Yeah, as you're walking down the line, you just mentioned, dude, how are they able to put Dr. Doom in this movie? Or walk out and say, dude, they actually killed Captain America. That sucks.
His ass was trying to literally get himself.
Do you remember what happened after Force Awakens? There was a story that a guy, exactly. He actually came out and said Han Solo was killed.
And
he got beaten up.
No,
he actually got
I
jumped.
I thought he got shot.
No, he got jumped. He got
but
jumped.
Still,
might as well.
Being a geek, I would know. It's like, I'm not going to take that away from someone and give them something real. But that would have been funny to see the reaction on people, especially the Doctor Doom one. Captain America, people were expecting him to die in this.
So that's in true. The meantime, I put up on Facebook.
Yeah, she put up on
I
Facebook.
I saw that
the
on
Doctor
Facebook.
Doom
I'm like, I missed something, apparently.
And then
you couldn't tell she was trolling people?
And then I had one that was like, are you talking, you know, the cat movie or whatever? And then Heather sends a bunch of questions, so I go back and like the question mark.
Just to see if she can get a reaction on it.
Right. I got no reactions.
You confused everybody.
I think people who had seen it saw your Doctor Doom thing, and they were like, what did I miss? Wait.
That's why I put it on Facebook.
Making people think.
I thought, was someone in a costume that looked remotely like that? No.
They didn't go to Latveria, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, that's like my prediction that we're going to see... The mutants are coming back to Marvel. I mean, not coming to Marvel, but Fox may start working with Marvel at some point soon. Because it's already... all but confirmed that somehow the Fantastic Four characters at least are going to be coming back to Marvel at some point.
Right.
There's Fox has already proven over four movies or three movies that they can't, or four movies actually, because the one in the 90s was Fox. Roger Corman's was Fox.
That was Fox. Yeah.
That's
so it's like over four
learn.
Movies they can't. I mean, the first Fantastic Four movie from the early 2000s actually did well.
It was okay.
I'm talking box office and everything else.
Well, because it was the first one that people really wanted to see.
If I remember right, that was the first superhero movie to actually, the characters looked correct. They were in their costumes.
Reasonably,
they were actually superheroes.
Yeah.
Well, at least for the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. But at least with the flops, they're not like running over their main character, their main actors.
Yeah. What do you mean running over their main actors?
You didn't hear about that on Maze Runner, the third one? The main actor
got hurt.
He got ran over. So it's on hold for, like, indefinite.
Yeah, until he gets it fixed.
They won't say how bad, but I'm thinking
amazingly, a large chunk of these superhero movies have not had injuries.
Yeah.
Like, even to stunt people and stuff. Like,
right. Well, that's because they're actually...
There's been a couple of them that have been, like, horrendous injuries. Yeah. But,
well, the nice thing is, what it is they're not skimping money. The production's giving them enough money that they don't have to... A lot of times when someone gets injured... When they're trying to pull
someone
money and save money somewhere,
corners.
They cut corners like on stunts or on this or on that, and that's somebody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Expendables.
Yeah.
Expendables, what was it, three? When the one stunt guy got killed,
right?
It was because they were in they went to Czech Republic because it was cheaper to film,
uh-huh.
and they could spend less, and there's less oversight and everything else.
Exactly.
If you have real stuntmen who know what they're doing and actually are doing their job correctly,
mm-hmm.
nobody gets hurt.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, South Africa, the one got hurt. She got. Mm-hmm. She's done. She's not going to be doing stunts anymore, and the guy got killed.
So, it's like, as long as the production company respects the movie enough to give them enough money to do the movie correctly, mm-hmm. that's why, it's like, we've worked movies, we've talked about this, that I've seen all kinds of places you could spare money that wouldn't hurt anything. You leave it in the safety department and the stunts and those guys that know what they're doing.
Right.
Cut some of the crafty budget. I mean, you don't have to have... truckloads and cases of Oreos and chips and stuff sitting there. You don't have to have that stuff.
Half the time,
a couple bottles of water is all you need.
Half of them we're not even going to eat it anyway.
Half of it, the catering company buys it and either uses it for the next movie or takes it home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of other places, things like that, that they could save money on so that they could actually have a safe set.
Right.
But moving on from that... My slight tirade.
That's the main news we have.
Okay. Well, that actually gets into Civil War. Actually, there was another one. Vicky called it.
That's right.
Kinda. Vicky's our psychic predictor.
I know I am.
If you guys remember last week, just as an offhanded comment that got us talking about Flash, Vicky actually said Barry Allen dies. And nobody knew this because this wasn't shown in any of the previews or nobody. Mm-hmm. And I watched the DC News. This wasn't in any of the news articles. At the end of this episode... they reenacted the particle accelerator explosion, and Barry Allen gets vaporized.
That's right.
Out of nowhere.
So, so in that universe, as far as
as long as they know
he's dead.
But I think this is also going to push towards my theory that at the end of this season, we're going to see four speedsters running side by side.
Well, I think having the two of them is kind of unquestioned at this point.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Because Wally and Jesse definitely got hit with something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Barry will be back by the end.
They got hit by Barry's body. It's okay.
Yeah. And I'm still calling Jay underneath the mask, and he is the speedster Jay Garrick. He mm-hmm. is the Flash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he probably won't look like Zoom. And what it is it, being the Flash, no one knew what he actually looked like.
That's
right.
True.
So when Zoom steps in, no one knows the difference.
Right. I still can't figure out why he's in a mask.
What's Zoom?
Like, why? No, the guy in the cell.
Oh.
What?
So no one sees his face? I don't know.
The chances if he's Barry from another time, he's going to look like Barry.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's the thing. We've seen just one alternate Earth. There's right. multis.
Well, we've seen two alternate Earths. Because
oh,
Barry
right,
went
right.
Supergirl.
That's right. He went Supergirl.
So
I mean, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
It could be another Barry. It could be another Barry's dad. It could be another...
Yeah.
You know.
That would be
It could
awesome.
Be another Joe. You never, he could, you know.
It could be Barry's dad.
You know what I think would be awesome? They've already done a Jay Garrick, but if they did Jay Garrick from like Earth 3 or 4, and it was John Wesley's ship,
mm-hmm.
with Jay Garrick
exactly.
then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think like the stature of the person is in the mask mm-hmm. is bigger than the dude who currently plays Barry.
We've never seen him stand. Yeah, the Grant Gustin, yes.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking it's not another Barry.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they say that?
Well, they already showed Barry from that Earth and he's not in the cell.
No,
he's
but
actually,
other ones.
Yes.
Well, weren't they talking about how Jay was a twin somehow?
That's one of the major theories is the fact that Jay Garrick is a twin. Hunter Zolomon and Jay Garrick were twins separated at birth on Earth 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then on our Earth, since there was no Jay Garrick, Hunter Zolomon lived and Jay Garrick died in childbirth.
Okay.
It's one of the major theories.
Right.
That would give you three of them.
Right.
That you would have a Jay, somehow on Earth, Jay Garrick did live, and that's the one that Hunter died, and he was lying about that right. whole force, or speed force mirage time thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've done pretty well with sticking with the Flash mythology
yeah.
in general. Like, they've changed little points, but they've stuck with a lot of the
well,
big things.
Another one, something that jumped big on, like, social media was, I guess, Mark Waid, who anybody who's a Flash fan knows Mark Waid wrote some of the best Flash back in the 90s, most of the 90s run of the Flash that with Wally West was Mark Waid. He loves
right.
the Flash character.
Right.
He went to social media and went nuts when they revealed Zoom was Jay Garrick. Because he's like, with the legacy of that character and who Jay Garrick is, and you can't do that to this character. This
right.
guy started everything.
Right.
Right.
The Jay Garrick character is over 75 years old at this point. Because Flash, I think 75 was last year or something.
Yeah.
And he was the original Flash.
Right.
So, but he went nuts. And Greg Berlanti went back to Twitter and said, wait, wait, guys. We love these characters also.
Yeah.
You will be happy with the end of this.
We're right. not
let us get there.
His legacy.
Yeah, just
don't
wait.
He says, we're not going to tarnish
it. Maybe the mask, he's the actual.
That's why yeah. I said, so, at some point they're going to fix this and they'll show that this is not, it's not what you think it is. But give us time to get there. And
well,
actually,
that's
not that much
it.
Time.
I mean,
there's, as of recording right now, we've got 3 episodes left.
Yes.
So when this comes out, there's 2 episodes left. And they've not, if you look on the IMDb, they have not released the title for the third episode, for the last episode.
Ah,
it's
okay.
episode 223.
Right.
So that, the episode title is a spoiler. But,
right.
Oh, I actually did get, there's some Gotham news that's interesting you guys might be interested in. Do you know the, in the Gotham City and Batman universe, you ever hear of, Boris Karloff, a character?
Yeah.
Do you know who it is?
Vaguely.
He was the original Clayface.
Yeah.
Now, originally, Clayface in the 40s, when he was created, wasn't... he didn't have any powers.
Right.
What it was he was in a horror movie that they were making a remake... Well, that sounds interesting. A remake of a movie in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But, and what it was he was all ticked off that they were not using him in the remake of his movie, so he dressed up as the villain in the movie was Clayface.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the costume and started killing the other actors in the order of which they died in the movie.
Right.
And that's where this character originally comes from. But not this week coming up. The next week, as of recording, Clayface is coming to Gotham.
Yeah, they had shots of him online already.
Yeah. So, and I guess he's in the Bruce Timm universe. Most people know Clayface from the Batman animated series. That was Hagen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Matt Hagen was, and he was actually, I guess, at that point there had been 4 different Clayfaces in because Batman has been going back so far.
Right.
But he was an amalgam of all of these different Clayfaces. So that's what this character is going to end up being too.
Okay.
Right.
So we got another, since this whole second half is supposed to be the Revenge of the Villains, we're going to see another, and I guess they released for the finale. We know all these other ones are there. There's Freeze is going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Clayface is now going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a spoiler alert, guys. If you guys don't mind the spoiler on it, Fish Mooney is now that they've resurrected and have Azrael because they resurrected mm-hmm. Galavant, Well, Fish Mooney's getting resurrected. Yeah. She'll be back for the last two episodes.
Yeah, that's been online in the past
okay.
week or two.
Well, I didn't know if you'd seen her or not. I figured I'd give everybody their spoiler
I'm not,
alert.
See, quite honestly, Gotham's an okay show, and we watch it, but I really don't care if they're getting spoilers on
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
it's
okay
getting,
with
It's getting
spoilers.
Interesting where they're going. And actually, towards the end of the season, it seems like it's getting better. As they're trying
it
to bring
it
together.
It is getting a little better. Bruce is not as much of a brat as he was.
No.
He's maturing a little. And he's listening to Alfred a little more, which is good because Alfred's trying to not get him killed on a weekly basis.
There was parts that I loved that Azrael was on the show because Azrael is one of my favorite Bat characters in general. Azrael's amazing, but I like the John Paul Valley's Azrael.
Yeah.
This one here was not the, but it was
an interesting
way they took the take on it because we've talked about it before that I don't have a problem with them changing something as long as we know they're changing
it.
If they're not saying it's the original version.
Right.
Right. And actually, the one thing I really liked was that shot they did, the long shot they did where he was standing on top of the bridge.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people that don't know, at one point, Azrael took over for Batman.
Yes.
That's a very Batman shot.
Yes.
When they
and actually, this whole this whole episode was full of Azrael's Batman. The whole thing where he climbs and jumps through the cathedral.
Exactly.
Yes.
There's a couple shots out of The Dark Knight Returns, I think, that is almost shot for shot the same thing.
Yes.
And actually, Bruce, the idea for his future.
Exactly. Yeah. You see Bruce on the ground watching like, I could do this.
Can do that, exactly. But the other thing with Hugo Strange discovering that he can manipulate people based on books.
Yes.
The one thing that got me really excited was then he started reading Alice in Wonderland because I thought, oh my God, the Hatter's coming.
Well, that
because and, that is the one villain I really want, and I'm pretty sure of which guy it might be. It might be the guy who's the cannibal.
Yeah,
because he vaguely looks like the character.
You think they're
going to
change who he actually is? Because in the original comics, it was Jervis Tetch,
right?
Which we've not had in this show. Right. That would be too big.
But I mean, they've changed a few of the people, so.
But, did you see the other reference to it?
Which one?
Peabody, Strange's assistant, actually mentions that someone was mad as a Hatter.
Yes, exactly.
That's the first one you get.
That's the one I was thinking, and then he had Alice, and I'm like, Hatter's coming, oh my God.
So it's interesting, and it's nice that they've not said this is part of the main universe, because all of this stuff is way too soon.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because all these guys appear after Batman's already out there.
Right.
So, but the other big one that's rumor mill that... the body of, what's his name, Jerome, is actually at Indian Hill also in storage. Right. What's the chances, not this season, but maybe for next season, because Gotham's already been renewed, we actually get another reanimation somehow, and they reanimate Jerome, and they have to give him a story.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
He's already Psycho. He's already Joker without the name, and they create the Joker.
Possibly.
I like Jerome. I like that character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like Jerome.
Like I said, he was the greatest Joker to never be the Joker.
But the thing is, with all the other villains they have going on, they don't need the Joker in Gotham.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
there's
you know?
Yeah, there's enough
But they're still teasing Joker everywhere. If you watch the graffiti on the walls, you get the ha-ha-ha.
Well, I mean, they had the whole episode with, was it Lori Petty? Is that Lori Petty who was in it?
Yeah.
Where she was Joker-esque, you know, on stage and stuff.
Right.
So that's Gotham.
You know, if they do the Joker and do kind of like in the shadows, in and out kind of deal would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
tease.
That's the stuff, and this is going to be a comic universe heavy show, guys. I mean, that's just the way it works sometimes.
Well, then can I change it?
What do you got? You got one more before we hit Civil War?
Yeah, I got one more. Vikings. I know you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of have to. What did you think of the time jump with the kids?
The second time the show's done, I was
surprised by how far they jumped.
Well, it's about the same as they did last time. They did 10 years last time.
Well, what it is? No, it was like 5. But the 10-year jump is in history,
right?
Because when they left Paris, they didn't go directly back home. They took them about a decade.
That's just it. I mean, a lot of people watching the show don't realize that we're talking about real time, you know, sailing across an ocean thing, and this is not like they didn't have motors. It took a long time to get places, and so like the time jump made sense. I think it was shocking to see the kids, to see the kids all grown up. But I mean, because when you first saw Bjorn, and it was like, wait, his hair has gotten about 2 feet longer, you know, and you had to figure out how long that might take.
And then
to see all of them together, and you're like, wait, which is what? Holy crap.
Yeah.
The boneless.
Yeah.
I'm scared of him. Out of all of them. Because you know they're all like, oh, you know, going to treat him as if
Yeah, if you see also, the other boys are he's the leader.
Oh, yeah.
Out of all of them.
Yeah.
He speaks, says something, and they do it.
And it makes you think what happened from when he was a kid where he whacked a hatchet into another kid.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And now he's the one who's leading everyone else. Like, and they've treated him just normally as one of them the whole time. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
I also, when they did the time jump, I liked that Bjorn has basically taken his father's spot.
Yeah.
Not as king, but as it would be a regent in most places.
Yeah.
Right.
Between him and Ocelot, but it's mostly him. He's been taking.
Well, she's just a lush sitting on the throne. She's just getting drunk all the time.
So it's interesting to see where they go with it. It's a fun show to watch.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's bloody and imagine what. Well. The European version, I guess, is different.
Yeah.
It's even more bloody, and they crop the scenes a little different sometimes.
Yeah.
So, because there's a lot less, a lot more you can show
but
on
it's,
British.
But it's definitely good, though. I mean, because you get as much history as they can possibly put in it. Because, I mean, it is the History Channel, after all.
Yeah.
They're not going to fictionalize too much of it if they can help it. So you're getting actual pieces of fiction, and they're just kind of being a little over the top in a lot of it, but a lot of it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's a good show to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's great fun.
It's not just like Game of Thrones where it's all fiction and, you know, you can just figure out someone's doing something to someone at some point. But, you know, they have to follow certain aspects of the plot in this one.
They do the best they can.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of this was actually the Vikings, a lot of it wasn't written down as much. It was told from tale to tale someone did fight right down.
A lot of this is still
later.
Folklore.
This is legend, folklore.
From it. Right. And there
it's
are some
just written down.
There are aspects in some of the shows that are definitely out there, like when they have their visions and when, you know, the one guy that's basically hooking up with everyone when he comes to town, you know, is he a god? Is he, you know, because he's got this other stuff going on. And so there are aspects.
He's a pre-60s hippie.
Exactly.
He's a pre-60s hippie.
Well, what's cool is that
which makes me think what he did to Iva.
Uh-huh.
I think he made Iva go aggressive.
He did something.
Was this the past season? Was that the third or the fourth season?
First half, the fourth.
Oh, the fourth season? Okay. Because you notice, every season, what's the next city? Because the first season was just Kattegat and the Vikings.
You're right.
Second season, they went to England and Wessex.
Mm-hmm.
And they've started working there. Third season, they added Paris.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be their next one? Well, they've added Rome now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to actually have stuff happening in Rome also.
Right.
It's interesting the way this is spreading out so that, because during the season, you're seeing stuff happening at home at Kattegat. You're seeing stuff, and there's no Vikings in England, but you're still seeing what's happening
in
England.
Well, I mean, by the end, Bjorn was having Floki build ships again.
Yeah.
So
they're going back to England.
Yeah.
The influence.
But it's interesting seeing how they're spreading this out to where, by the time this is done, they're going to need like 3-hour shows just so they can get everybody in there.
Well, and the other thing is you're going to have to go back to at least showing some of Paris to see what happened.
Mm-hmm. Was he there about
the second
see,
half
thing
of the
is,
fourth
about
season?
Historically speaking, I think they're about to hit their decline.
Yeah,
because I think when once France defeated them,
the next is Russia. They went to Russia.
Yeah,
yeah
they went
so,
to that. But why not go?
And some believe
Iceland,
that they went to North America too. So
yeah.
America.
So, yeah. So I think they went a lot farther than people even think because they found artifacts from the Vikings in like Minnesota and actually out into the Dakotas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have actually went across landed at some point and started moving out that way.
Oh yeah, the Vikings were definitely here. I mean,
right.
So,
but can you imagine them do a couple episodes or even a season with them going from England, hopping up over and coming over to the States
or
to Canada.
I mean, they can survive the winter weather. You know, Bjorn's whole thing outdoors and with the bear and all that kind of stuff proved that.
In the water.
So
yeah,
but that would be really cool if they actually did bring them to like the Nova Scotia, East Canada, and have them interact with.
If they get
the
enough
natives.
Seasons,
yeah,
they have. They did
at least one or two more.
No,
they have to do at least another couple seasons before they can do that.
They got two more seasons and 20 episodes each.
Yeah. So, actually, from here, we're gonna get into some Civil War, I think, because we're getting towards the end of the show. So, when did you guys actually go see Civil War? Was it Thursday night?
Thursday
night. Yeah, we actually went with Bart. He went up there with us. Did you guys go up to the falls of the same place? Probably we did.
No, we went to the one near home because it's never busy.
Which one? Which
Independence.
One's
by
Independence. The Regal Independence by Hal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I was like, what movie theater is there? So, what did you think?
I think it was an almost perfect superhero movie.
Okay. Well, you would, because it had a downer for an ending.
No. No. It has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that it had perfect pacing and plotting and the right combination of action and comedy.
Yeah.
And it made it pretty much perfect out of all the superhero movies that have come out thus far.
Okay. Vicky, what'd you think?
Bucky.
What about Bucky?
It was all about Bucky.
Well, yeah, that was basically the gist of what... well, that was the secondary story almost, because the Civil War wasn't really started by him officially.
But am I allowed to say spoilers?
Well, yeah, this is the spoiler full show.
Hmm. It was amusing to see Stark's ego kind of get crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
It became stink.
When he was at MIT?
Well, yeah. No, even at the end when he realized he screwed up.
Just everything. Well, I mean, there was even a point during the film where he admitted that Ultron was all on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that part, but the whole thing with the, like them signing the I will do as I'm told, and everyone's like, no, but he realized he was wrong. He shouldn't have done that.
Well, the thing is...
Because they let that guy in and let the guy just fed him to
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, like, anything that Thaddeus Ross is involved in, you should know. If Thaddeus Ross is behind it, you should know not to be involved.
Well, it was awesome to see him in this. That bringing him back from the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you know, to see he, I don't know who he dated that he got to go from general to secretary.
Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense.
That's actually a believable step.
Yeah, I would not. No, I would not want him.
I mean, Thunderbolt Ross may not be believable as Secretary of Defense.
Well, actually, he is believable.
Going from a general to Secretary of Defense is the type of person you want. Yeah, you retire from the military, and then what else are you going to do?
Right.
Well, I mean,
so because the Secretary of Defense controls the military, what's the generals do? They control the military.
Well, I mean, I can see somebody like Ross. Me personally, I wouldn't pick him.
Well, I think it was interesting. They did a really good job of creating a believable story based on the timeline of the movies.
Yeah.
That was not the actual plot of the Civil War comics.
Right, yeah it's completely different from the comics.
In the comics, it's a whole registration act, and it's a bigger deal because so many of the superheroes do have secret identities.
Mm-hmm.
I've
not read Civil War, but in the comics, it seems like that story arc was just a retread of what they've been doing for years with X-Men. They just made it a full superhero community thing instead of just mutants.
Well, okay. Because
mutants, they've been trying to register mutants forever.
Well, here's what happened.
Well, yeah, but it was based on an incident, much like the movie was.
Yeah, it was an incident that resulted in the death of like, I think it was like 686 different, like,
I remember,
like civilians.
It was a small town.
A small town.
And some inexperienced heroes had gone to film a reality show.
I actually did read Civil War number one. Did you guys, where did you buy your tickets? Did you buy them at the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought it through Fandango and got four free comics, digital comics out of it. When you buy it through Fandango, you get
the
four
free digital.
We got
them at the theater. They gave you the code.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Civil War number one, mm-hmm. New Avengers number one, Black Panther number one, and... Captain America, Iron Man, Civil War, it's like the Fallout.
Oh, see, they had different ones at the theater.
Yeah, what did they give you guys?
Invincible Iron Man number one.
Okay.
Captain America, Sam Wilson number one. Civil War number one. I think there was just the three.
Yeah, it was just three.
Okay, yeah. I got the four with the Fandango. Plus, I got entered. What? I didn't realize. I have that Disney Movies Rewards app thing for buying Marvel movies and Star Wars and everything else. Mm-hmm. When I bought through Fandango, I had already linked it to my Disney. I got like 50 points for buying movie tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You do.
This is all. I'm gonna buy through Fandango more often. If they're doing stuff like giving me free comics and giving me points for rewards through Disney, this is awesome.
That's right.
Fandango, we will take sponsorships.
So ultimately, what happens is there's this outcry because they're like, no, these people need to be, these people need to be controlled. We don't know who they are. A bunch of them are masked, and you know.
Well, they had a big thing about training them and actually making them federal employees, if I remember from the beginning of that.
Yes, yeah, and there was
giving them training, giving them their medical and all that stuff for being working for the federal government.
Right, and so of course, and then Tony Stark is like, well, you know, okay, well, I mean, he had nothing to lose because the world knew he was Iron Man.
Yeah,
people know that T'Challa is Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these, especially the Avengers, a lot of their identities are already known.
Yeah.
But then you have a lot of other heroes who are not. And of course, if anybody knows who Steve Rogers really is at heart, he can't get behind this because that just steps right all over your civil liberties. He's not okay with that.
But that stayed the same in the movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
that stayed true.
The Sokovia Accords made sense, and it's almost like that might have been a next step, was to train all the heroes in that, because they were going to control them anyway.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that would have been a next step, which maybe we'll find out about, because they're all, you know, on the loose now.
Yeah, because the Avengers are pretty much broken.
But I think that's why the Sokovia Accords worked, because in the movies they didn't follow a lot of the timeline of the comics anyway, even prior to Civil War. So it makes complete sense and actually works better than the comics. The way they've worked the MCU and to directly relate it to a national catastrophe.
Right.
Well, the nice thing is, it's what Marvel's done with all their movies, and Warner Brothers has to figure out that they've taken every one of the movies they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You can trace it to a story arc in the comics somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what it is they'll take the backbone of what that story is.
Yes.
Right.
Just the general outline of what is the idea here. And then they make it work for movie.
Right.
Because what you do in the comics will not translate directly to movies 100%.
No.
So you change what you have to, but making the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or the television universe, or whatever, they've adapted it so that it works for a wide audience.
Right.
Because the wide audience, they've accepted all this superhero stuff, but there's still some stuff in there that they're not going to accept. They're not going to like this.
Right.
But they have the right people doing that. That's DC has the problem of too many hands in the pot, adding stories and adding stories and adding stories, and you end up with 10 different stories all in one movie.
Right. And that's the reason why for Marvel has made it so that you could have, when we get to the Infinity Gauntlet movies.
Yes.
Or the Infinity War, I have no worries that we can have a movie with 65 different Marvel characters in it. And it's going to work.
Well, this one here, they just kept adding and adding and adding also.
Right.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, you had two new characters coming into the MCU with Spider-Man and Black Panther.
We'll get to those two in a minute.
But, I mean, number one, everyone knows what Spider-Man's about anyway, so he didn't really even need much of a backstory.
Mm-mm. No.
And they went quickly through where Black Panther came from and made complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of them, you know the backgrounds and you know the depth of the characters. You didn't need anything more, so because you already know how they're interacting and how they feel about each other. And, you know, Tony's got the ego and Cap is the Boy Scout. And you already know all this.
Well, you got to think, especially those two. I think those two characters have been portrayed more on screen than any other characters out there. Because Cap had two movies of his own, plus the two Avengers movies.
Right.
Tony's had three movies of his own and two Avengers movies.
Mm-hmm. And he's been in other movies.
Yeah.
Right.
They've established those two characters very, very well.
So that's why they were able to get into the meat of the story quickly and pull that out that way, because you already knew how everyone was going to interact with each other.
So I had an idea that I was percolating in my head and letting you finish, and now it percolated its way all the way out.
Was it the new characters who came in?
No, we'll get to that. I want to get to that. I definitely want to touch on those.
Did you like the love story that was going on?
Which love story? Oh, the Cap love story with
Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of cool. I did like how they touched on that.
Right.
Because if you know the comics, the two of them eventually get married, don't they?
Right, they do.
Yeah.
So they touched on it, but they didn't hit you over the head with it.
Right. They did really well in developing the whole... kind of like there's something there, but neither one of them either wants to admit it or really knows what it is.
And Vision has no idea what's going on, because he knows he's an android. He's artificial. Like this can't happen.
Some kind of feeling, but he doesn't know what feelings are.
He doesn't understand what this is. Yeah. No, the one I was going to ask is, you're talking about, we know T'Challa and Spider-Man are in there.
Yes.
We're going to get to them in a minute.
Right.
We can't go past those guys.
Right.
But awesome.
I liked how they actually did acknowledge the other actual Avengers that are not there. They actually put a mention of asking when Ross was in the room, asked, they're like, well, we keep tabs on ourselves. And Ross is like, well, where's Thor? Where's Hulk?
Yeah.
If you're keeping tabs on all of your own guys,
do you actually know where your Hulk is right now?
Yeah. Do you know where your other characters are? And it's funny, Thunderbolt Ross looking for Hulk.
Yes,
isn't that in the comic books? Isn't that his whole job? The entire comic book is looking for the Hulk.
Well, doesn't he become Red Hulk?
Yeah, he's
the one that becomes Red Hulk.
Yeah, he becomes Red Hulk. And his daughter becomes Red She-Hulk.
Red She-Hulk, yeah.
Yeah. So,
But it's true. They do actually point out the fact that they're not there, and we kind of don't know where they are right now.
They make them not being there part of the whole idea for why to have them working.
Yeah, this is why we have to track
them.
Yeah.
Because especially Hulk. Because Banner no matter, you need to know where he's at all times, because one wrong move and all of a sudden you have the Hulk smashing cities.
Exactly.
Is the way, yes, they look, well, at the way the, they look at it.
And the, yeah, fact that, you know, he accused the Black Widow of knowing where he was at.
Uh-huh.
And Thor, as far as they're concerned, is another loose cannon.
Right.
Because you never know if something's going to tick him off. Something, he's ticking off. He still has the Viking mentality.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, Thor...
he has control.
Thor is a god, and he like... 99% chance that he's not even on Earth.
Yes.
You know, and Thor, don't worry about it.
Thor loves Earth. He's 9 times out of 10, he's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Well, see, we know this, but in universe, like the government stuff doesn't understand.
Well, yeah, you look at the Defense Department,
right,
and they just see them as dangers because of what they can do.
Right.
So,
these are going to show up as a woman.
Yeah, most of you guys hopefully have seen Civil War by now, but let's get into the one I have questions about, the new character first. Well, first, Ant-Man I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, is that Scott Lang's character directly out of the Scott Lang's character?
Yeah, Scott Lang is legit.
He's more of a Spider-Man style Ant-Man.
What?
Well, with the one little bit of one-liners and
the
talking. Yeah.
Personality-wise.
Yeah, they are really close.
Okay. And what do you think of all of a sudden? Do you think we're going to get a new name for him for the next movie?
Giant Man?
I don't necessarily think they're going to go with doing Giant Man too often.
It was amazing seeing it.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I was.
I've done this once before, but I passed out.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
I knew that he could do it, but I wasn't sure how far they were going to take it. You know,
but one of the best scenes in the movie happens shortly before that, when Ant-Man is on the tip of the arrow Clint is about to shoot. And if you guys don't know, look up the cover. It's an iconic cover of a comic book. Actually, and the fact that they put that shot in there, I almost squeed, quite honestly, just to see it.
Speaking of Hawkeye, though, if I remember right, none of the promotional information had him in there. Was he even listed in the beforehand?
Okay.
When you look at the poster.
Oh, yeah. No, they showed an Ant-Man on the shoulder and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they showed him on the arrow in one of the trailers.
Yes.
Okay, so we knew Hawkeye was good. Because I remember when I saw Hawkeye on screen, I'm like, I didn't know he was supposed to be in this.
So he
is in it.
Yeah.
So Ant-Man was awesome as Giant Man.
And can I just say, it's kind of funny if you watch DC Legends of Tomorrow, that barely a couple weeks ago they had Adam grow in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And it looked really fake in CGI.
Well, they're on a TV budget,
and they're on a TV budget. And so, like, you knew seeing that, if you knew anything about the movie coming out, you knew Giant Man was showing up.
Yeah.
Even just by looking at the Funko toys alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew it was going to be better. So it kind of gave you the little bit of, holy crap, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But then you got Spider-Man. It was like, oh, this is talked about being on the ice planet. And,
it's like
on the ice planet with those big things walking around. Remember what they did to the legs? That really old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
Before we get to Spider-Man, because we're going to be talking about Spider-Man for a while, I think, here.
Hopefully not.
How was the Black Panther's character portrayed on screen? Because I know you guys have read Black Panther. I know you're Black Panther,
yes, Kylan. Yeah.
What did you think of Black Panther's first outing on screen?
They may as well just pulled it right out of a comic.
Awesome.
It was. I mean, the iconic scene for me was him jumping out of the building, going down the side with his claws as he's going down the building. The hand-to-hand combat, I wasn't too concerned about that. That can be trained in that sort of thing. But that one scene where he's coming down with the claws inside the building, and I'm just like,
I like the once he landed on the roof and they start shooting and everything, and he just kind of looks at them like, what?
Yeah.
Like, cause it's a completely bulletproof suit.
In the comic books, is his suit bulletproof also?
Yeah. His suit is made of vibranium.
It's all made of everything that Captain Shield is made out of.
Okay, vibranium fibers. How does it move if it's full of vibranium?
They're a more technologically advanced society than anywhere else.
Yeah, they're the richest and the most technologically.
In that, Black Panther number one that I got the digital, it shows like in the way back in like BC almost, and how they had technologically no one could attack them because they couldn't beat the tech.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, you know, like they had crossbows while everybody had rocks.
Uh-huh.
And when everybody had crossbows, they had guns. And then everybody had guns, they got
everything else.
Rocket launchers. You know, it's just.
But I think they did a good job of portraying him as reasonable.
Yeah.
But he still had that ego of the he's regal side of him. He's a, but not the same ego as Tony.
No.
Like, it's just like he's a king. He gets respect, but he earns respect. It's It's not. He's just doesn't.
He wasn't
expect
a spoiled prince.
No, exactly.
No, he's not. No.
Because of how they were trained, they were all trained as warriors. Period.
Yeah.
Because he was the protector, but now because of what was done, he's the king now too.
Right.
Well, yeah, but his dad had been the protector too.
It's passed down. It's sort of like how the character, how the Phantom is a mantle,
mm-hmm.
and so when you're king, you're also the Black Panther as well. Now. Obviously.
Now, in this,
we're pretty sure that his dad...
His dad had already passed it down.
Yeah. So...
Because he showed up pretty quick as Black Panther after his dad was gone.
Given his dad's age and everything, he had already passed it down.
Yeah,
so. But I did like that they also had... they didn't outright say it, but the women that accompanied him to the car and basically threatened Black Widow, that was part of the guard.
Yeah.
Like, they have an all-female guard protecting the king.
Yeah. The king has, like, the king's guard. And I have to admit, like, what Marvel did with the character Black Panther, with Wakanda in general, considering, let's say, they had to have been, like, 65, 68, somewhere in there, you know, when you're introducing a black hero who isn't just... He's not just a superhero. He's a king. He's not just a king. He's like the richest. He's richer than Stark. Yeah. And, you know, it's the most, wealthiest. It's the wealthiest nation. And he's one of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe. They did a lot of groundbreaking stuff with when they developed Black Panther and Wakanda. And it's awesome to see all that on the big screen.
Yeah.
And to be true to the characters.
And at the end, when you have your mid-credits scene where Bucky's going back under, and they're in Wakanda because they have the technology to do this.
Yes.
Yes, and then you pan, and then right there...
Then there's a huge panther.
Yeah, huge panther. I'm like...
Screw the rest of the movies. Give us Black Panther now.
That's
a couple of years ago. Yeah,
it was supposed to be on my birthday. Was it on the 2017?
It was supposed to be 2017 originally. They've pushed it a year.
Yes.
All because of the brat and the spider outfit.
See, okay, Don doesn't like
I'm not a Spider-Man fan. This is why the movie is not quite perfect to me, because I didn't find Spider-Man necessary to it.
See, I saw. From what I know of Spider-Man, I don't know a whole lot, but it looked like the best Spider-Man we've seen on screen.
I will give it that. This Spider-Man is actually feels like the cartoons and the comics, the smart mouth.
Yeah, just running his mouth the whole time.
The actual, like, energetic, vibrant kid as opposed to the incarnations they've had in the other films.
Right.
I'll give it that.
Now, here's the thing. Like, in the comic, in the movie, Black Panther takes the place of Spidey in the comic.
Okay.
Spidey was sort of like the one that was on one side, and he's like brought over to the other, and he sort of kind of brings peace between the
two
sides.
A lot of people thought that in this movie he was going to start out on the side of Iron Man and move to Cap.
Right. But see, he is such a Stark fanboy, even in the comics. He is such a Stark fanboy, that was never going to happen.
I love that scene when he first meets Stark, when Stark shows up at his house, he's like,
And then they go into the bedroom, he's like, I didn't sign up for anything. What are you talking about?
And the whole time, Stark's winking at him as he's telling Aunt May these things. And Aunt Marissa Tomei looked awesome as Aunt May. It's a totally new take, I don't think I've ever seen it.
That's not totally a new take, because they made Aunt May hot in Ultimate Spider-Man. And I'm like, you know what? And we talked about this on Mighty Marvel Geeks. Like, and I'm like, you know what? I said, no, I'm watching the show, and Coulson kind of has a thing with Aunt May for a little bit. And I'm trying to not think of Aunt May in that way, but I'm like, you know what? You know, Aunt May is kind of...
Does he have a thing for May? Because he seems to be in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, May and Aunt May?
No, I know. But, yeah, so to see when we found out the Marissa Tomei had been cast. I'm just like,
there was so much fanboy flack over that, and I'm like, really? For the amount of time she's in the movie, does it make that big a difference? But
it'll make a difference when they make the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, but
no, but you know what? I like, I prefer a young, having an 70, 80 something year old woman who is his aunt.
Yeah, that would be more great aunt.
Yeah, no, like, she, given the age.
Now they've made it more age appropriate for, because he's what, 14 or 15 in this movie. Right. He's not
he's in high school.
Yet.
Right.
And so make his aunt 20, 25 years older than him. That puts her in her late 30s, early 40s.
Right, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei's past 40.
Yeah, like, well, I'm just saying the character could be in that age range. Mm-hmm.
See, I have no
Marissa
problem
Tomei's
with
almost
that
50,
sense.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no problem with that. I always took issue with Aunt May being so old in the comics. That bothered me.
Well, and at least over the past decade or so, Aunt May not being as old, she's also not as like decrepit and unable to fend for herself.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it made less sense early on when the way they created her.
So, like, now I'm good with this, and I like hot Aunt May. I can't.
I figured you'd just appreciate Marissa Tomei as Aunt May.
There you go.
Yeah, so. Love, like the whole thing with Tony, your aunt's kind of hot there, you know? It's like, no!
Don't go there.
So, we're partners, and you're hitting on my aunt. That ain't right.
So, yeah.
Those are the only two main added characters to this.
Right.
I mean, other than other ancillary characters that were added, but the heroes, those are the only two added.
Right.
But
you do get a little bit more of Agent 13, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's been in the earlier Cap movies.
Yeah.
Well, it took me a little bit because I saw her originally. I asked Vicky, she was sitting beside me anyway, and I was like, was that his neighbor in Captain America and Winter Soldier? And yes, it was.
Yeah,
she was the one that was watching him the whole time.
She was watching him the whole time. But of course, no one knew that was Peggy's niece.
Yeah.
Now, in the comics, is she Peggy's niece?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the comics, they have an on-again, off-again relationship because Steve never really ever full-on has... Well, he doesn't ever have a full-on relationship with Peggy.
Yeah. Right. Well, she doesn't have enough time to have a full-on relationship with Peggy.
But
I was going to say, that's another thing. If Carter was as old as she was, how was her niece, like...
Could have been a great niece, could have been... Yeah.
Yeah, but you can have a niece at any age.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Peggy only had one brother. So we're assuming that that...
Exactly.
He died, so I don't know how this worked, but hey.
Unless it was adopted.
I don't know. That is actually interesting, because according to the TV series, Peggy only had one brother, right?
Yeah.
He died during World War II.
According to the TV series, yeah.
How does it end? It's all connected, so it's part of the same universe.
But in Winter Soldier, she had said she was married and had a family.
Yeah, remember
connecting the dots. Wait, something's not working. Then it could have been from her husband's side or something.
But then why would they also have the last name of Carter?
Peggy, that was her original, her maiden name was Carter.
But you would somebody...
Sharon's last name was Carter.
Oh.
But I mean, if there were no marriages or they just kept their names...
Yeah, people keep their names, you know, and so...
It'd be interesting if they ever do address... They probably will never address that, but that'd be kind of interesting to see if they would go through and say, you know what, this is how that worked.
Right.
At some point, some fanboy in a Comic-Con is going to come up with this, and because there's nothing wrong with fanboys at Comic-Cons, we're those guys.
Yeah.
But someone's going to ask Feige or someone this question, and Feige's going to have to figure out on the fly how this works.
So someone probably... Well, there's a good chance she could have married someone with the same last name. We know somebody that...
That's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean,
Carter is a common name. It's not an uncommon name.
You have the same last name as me. We can't get married.
No. She married the husband, and the husband took her name.
No, not back when that was done.
Yeah.
That would never have happened in the 50s.
Well, no, that wouldn't have happened.
In the 40s or 50s? No, that would not have happened.
No, that wouldn't have happened back
but
then.
Something, but a more recent reason, a more recent marriage, they could have done it.
Yeah. So.
But the other one who shows back up again near the beginning, which actually causes the main problem for the movie, is Crossbones.
Yes.
It gives you the basic explanation because at first Steve doesn't even know who he is and then realizes, you know, when he says, well, you dropped a building on me, then he's like, holy crap, you're alive. And that seems to happen in a lot of these movies. Holy crap, you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's that Crossbones being there. I thought they did a great job with Crossbones with the fists and stuff he was going on with. But so that creates the main gist of the whole issue.
Yeah.
And then... And then, of course, there's Bucky.
Bucky was cool. And I liked how they actually break the brainwashing, they give him back the brainwashing, and then break. It was interesting seeing it back and forth a little bit.
Well, it's almost like they didn't break it, though. Like, I mean, it's always there.
Yeah.
It's just that segment of words that has to be spoken to him in Russian for it to kick in. And by the way, I have to say, we all kind of went, oh my God, at the screen when they put Hydra in Cleveland. We're not surprised at all, right. But...
yeah.
But it's in Cleveland. But a lot of people don't realize that there was actually an Easter egg in an early movie about Bucky possibly being the one that killed Stark's parents.
Yeah.
It was in...
I'm going to come back to the Cleveland thing here in a minute, but...
Okay. This was actually in Winter Soldier when Cap and Black Widow were in the Hydra bunker. And there's all sorts of news articles that get shown at one point. Mm-hmm. And one of them is about the Starks being killed in a car accident. And almost as soon as that movie came out, fanboys were saying it was Bucky who did it. And so basically it was a bit of an Easter egg from Winter Soldier that all of a sudden is like, oh yeah, surprise.
The nice thing was they showed that scene two or three times in the movie, and you see a little bit more each time.
Yeah.
And until they showed that Tony's parents were in it, I didn't pick up on it. And I usually pick up on this stuff being a comic book.
Yeah,
fanboy.
It was.
They
it,
did
it
very
was a
well
bit
of
a surprise.
Of teasing it, but the surprise was still there.
Right.
I was surprised that Steve kept that secret.
When did Steve find out? Was it when he was talking to Bucky earlier in the movie?
Steve,
was it farther back?
I think it was farther back. Yeah, I think
because they never
it was a long kept secret.
Yeah, they never showed, but they never secret. Showed when, in any of the movies. They've never shown when Steve figured this out.
Right.
Steve, or was he reading old documents from when
that's
he,
a possibility
he
too.
Froze to when he because he had nothing else to
possibly.
Do.
See,
possibility.
Because the thing is, Fury has secrets.
Mm-hmm.
His
yeah.
secrets has secrets, and he knows
exactly.
stuff, and he doesn't share anything that unless it has to be a need to know basis.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Rogers is probably the only person that knows almost as much, because even Coulson doesn't know everything. So.
I don't know. Depending on what they've done in the TV series, he may know just about it as much as Fury.
Oh, and speaking
point.
Of Coulson, it has been now. There's actually something you can watch online already, but by the time you guys hear this, it'll be out that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week does have something to do with Civil War.
It should. Every one of these movies has come out. They've done something. The
they've
day
done
after.
A little something. The last couple.
This should
the
actually
last
affect,
one they didn't quite, but this one they said there
S.H.I.E.L.D.
is something.
A lot more.
Yeah.
So, but going back to Cleveland, you know. And I've not been confirmed, but I know, knowing the, you know why Cleveland was, Hydra was put in Cleveland. The Russo
it's
brothers
Cleveland.
Were born and raised in Cleveland.
Exactly,
and
when, yeah.
If
Cleveland.
I remember right, didn't they go to Case Western Reserve to
yeah.
study film?
I think so.
And then from there, that's why there's a good chance, as of right now, Cleveland may be getting Infinity War.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So,
at
I mean,
least part of it.
They didn't film it, but Captain America, the first Avenger, was, and Avengers themselves were filmed in Cleveland.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, but Avengers had some scenes filmed here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Avengers
so
had the entire
Cleveland.
Thing at Tower City.
For Marvel movies, they love Cleveland.
Yes.
So.
And Cleveland is actually, if any of you know it, or, you know, just look stuff up online, it has a lot of different areas of the city that can look completely different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got water, we're on a lake, we've got a river, we've got a lot of big roadways, and we've got little small communities, and housing development
and
stuff like that.
Places like Akron
ages.
That have not really never been filmed.
Exactly.
Right.
In downtown Akron,
movie
it's not
crews,
a large area, but
come
it's enough.
To Akron.
Yes. I've been working on that anyway, on indie guys, on big movies, on everything. It's like, come look at Akron.
Oh,
I'm gonna start making my own movies. So.
And yeah. and here's one last question. Well, maybe not last, but one from the movie that that Kylan and I talked about. What creates the Russian soldiers? If you look at, you know, what pops the trunk, what Bucky gets out of that trunk, Kylan was thinking it was the super soldier serum. But my thought is it's blue.
Yeah.
So who says it can't be something Kree?
That's possible, especially after what we've seen the last week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly.
Right.
But the Russians are trying to, same thing that they did with the Winter Soldier, they're trying to make more of the Winter Soldier.
Right.
And the Winter Soldier was their version of the Super Soldier Serum.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
See, so that's what this was, they were trying to make a Super Soldier Death Squad. So I'm with Kylan that this is the...
Well, I mean, and it depends
good
when,
to speculate about,
when, Kree show, when the Kree showed yeah. up.
Well, see, Howard Stark stole Steve's DNA
mm-hmm.
from Peggy. How? He said that he was just holding it, mm-hmm. but we see that he lied about it.
Right. Yeah, he lies about everything to everybody.
It makes me wonder if it is Kree blood, what was Stark
Exactly. It's a mix. Yeah.
Why he had it and what was he doing? Because
exactly.
Yeah.
I think the way Papa Stark has figured out.
The video was almost like they knew it was they were going
to
die anyway.
I think Papa Stark figured out how to recreate the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah. Well, he was involved in making it originally.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he would. He made. Everything was destroyed. That doesn't mean he didn't keep a couple of pages.
Right.
I mean, if you, especially
I mean, if, that's, made
if
it,
nothing
you,
else,
it's in your head.
The Agent Carter TV series has shown us the character of Howard Stark and how close he is to Tony. But
right. Yeah. Exactly.
So he's one mechanical suit away from Iron Man. I mean, come on.
That's true.
Okay, so we should probably give this our brownies.
Let's get our brownie rating on this, then we'll get ready to wrap the show up, because I think we've hit a lot of the main points here. Mm-hmm. Geeksters, if you have any other ideas and something we missed that you want us to catch, give us an email. It's geekwatch1@gmail.com. You guys know the email. Send us an email. Send
you can
us something
tweet
on Facebook,
us.
Tweet
you
us.
Can, yeah, put it on Facebook.
Let us know what you thought about Civil War. So let's start with Vicky here. On to brownie meter, 1 to 5 brownies. What do you give it? 4 brownies?
4 and 8. I ate the other.
Oh, you ate the 7/8 of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Kylan?
4.5.
4.5 brownies?
4.8 brownies.
Okay.
Almost 5.
I'm going to be probably more closer to like 4.25 or so. The ending was nice, and I liked the setup for, and it definitely set up for Infinity War for everything to come together. Now we know why half the Avengers are not in the first Infinity War movie. Because they're hiding.
Exactly.
Right.
So it gives them a chance, a reason for everybody to come together and have a good feel-good moment for Avengers and come together and do this.
That's right.
So that gives us a strong, almost 4.5 brownies for
this
one.
Right, overall.
So,
go see it. You know you're going to see it anyways if you haven't already.
What's weird is the drive-in didn't have it this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Drive-in's
been open since March.
Oh.
You know, anybody who doesn't know, most of the country has had a light winter this year.
Right.
Well, they opened it as soon as they were able to start getting cars in there.
Okay.
I miss it. I wish I would have seen that they actually ran Force Awakens there.
Oh.
I wish I would have been a chance. Seeing it at the drive-in would have been sweet.
Yeah.
But, so, Geeksters, Miss Vicky, do you have anything else for this show before we call it a wrap tonight?
Nope, I'm just going to go take pictures of my jewelry and move on.
Okay. Kylan, what do you have for the rest of today?
Yeah. I had nothing. I'm just waiting for Tuesday so I can get Uncharted 4. So, you know.
Awesome.
Yes, you pre-ordered it.
There you go. Poe Dameron is live from London.
What?
Miss
Vicky's doing her job and distracting us again.
Oscar.
Nice.
We need you on the show.
That's right. That's your job. Get him.
Did we
show.
Touch everything you had?
We're not going to go there, but...
I realized it after I had said it, so I was like, let it roll.
My big thing for Tuesday, of course, is Deadpool. So aside from that, yeah, that's it.
Okay, and Geeksters, that's everything I had for a wrap-up. Now, keep an eye on our Facebook feeds and stuff. We have some possible other multimedia-type news coming. We'll give you the tease on that. And also coming up in a couple, I believe next week in the next couple shows, we're going to have a steampunk show. Anybody who's interested in steampunk, we're going to have the Cleveland Steampunk Union back with us sometime in the next month.
Miss
Vicky's Fire Rose Studios page is up and running. We also have the Meeplecast coming up. Don't forget about that. We're going to have, this summer, we're going to have coverage from Origins and Gen Con. Anybody interested in gaming? And other than that, you can always find us, like we said, all of our social media is GeekWatch1. You can get us at Gmail or GeekWatch1@gmail.com. You can find us on the Tangibound Network and the new home of GeekWatch1 at WeebieGeeksPC.net or WeebieGeeks.com takes you to the same place.
Yep.
And then for Miss Vicky, for Kylan, for Miss Anna, for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.